I'm not sure I have the right to impose on the tzibur at this hour. So maybe just a few moments. I actually prepared something of a rather lengthy nature, kedarki, but I'm not sure I'm going to, as I said, trouble you. I just want to read to you a letter that I saw of a young Jewish mother who passed away in a very, in the prime of her life, left a fair number of children. She writes the following. May Hashem Hatov, I translate the letter from the Hebrew into English, which would have been easier to read in the Hebrew, but since we moved to English, so. May Hashem Hatov worry about all your needs, just as he assisted me during my hours of travail. Turn only to him, be mitpalel to him. It pains me terribly, but I'm compelled to leave you. Such is the will of Hashem. And I have accepted the gzeirah. I wanted so much to escort you to the chuppah. I thought that before I die, I would merit seeing each of you settled. But Hashem directs traffic. And this is his wish. And this is his wish then, harezeh l'tova. Even though it's difficult for you to see the good embedded in this tragedy. But you should know, kol man di'avid rachmana l'tav avid. I loved you, my children, so much. All my life I only thought of you. I lived my life for you. I only wanted always that you should be happy and content with your lot. My greatest desire was that you should be Balei Midot, Gomrei Chasadim. I loved you deeply and tried my utmost to provide you with whatever I could. I hope you continue to be together, to worry about each other, to help each other, and so to together you'll work through the pain. Remember, I was very happy. I love to rejoice. I love to hear your stories. I even love to sign your report cards with marks that were not always so laudatory. I was elated that you as humans sometimes falter and stumble. I felt every pain of yours, both physical when you were sick and spiritual when not everything worked out as you so desired. I love to hear you sing Zmirot on Shabbat, to hear your brachot that were said in Kavanah, the songs you sang in Gan, the stories of Parshat HaShavua. I loved every smile of yours, every moment, every movement. Perhaps I loved too much, but I loved with all my heart and soul. It pains me profoundly. I cannot remain to watch you, to observe you, as I so much enjoyed doing. You were fantastic. I request of Hashem and pray you'll continue to be together. Help the family unit, strengthen each other. Hold on to a warm and strong kesher with Saba and Sabta. Go visit them. Preserve the family bonding. It's very difficult for me to think that I'm leaving you alone. But Hashem is the one who declares and decides life and death. And certainly, this is for my good and for your good as well. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask for forgiveness for things I should have done for you and didn't do, and for the misunderstandings that emerged. May Hashem worry about all your needs. And just as he helped me during my most difficult moments, help you with your difficult moments as well. Please turn to him and pray. And he, as an infinite mercy, will have great rachmanut on you and help you. Signed by a loving mother, whose love will escort you always. Signed with tears, Ima. Such is the Sefer Musar of a young mother who left an epitaph that largely characterizes the posture of a frum Jew towards death. As mentioned before, one of the most fundamental elements in human being is to strengthen their emunah, to believe that everything is from Hashem, all happenings and tragedies are decreed from above by Misha Amar V'Haya HaOlam. An example of such a concrete emunah in the one who gave the Torah and its sages, one can derive from Hannah, the mother of Shmuel HaNavi. I saw, and actually I heard from my Rebbe, the Rav Zichron Livracha, he said once in the name of his uncle, Rav Elbel Soloveitchik, that when Rav Elbel Soloveitchik came to the following pasuk in Tanakh, he became emotionally distraught. He broke out in tears. The Navi writes in Shmuel Paragal Pasuk Yudchet, Upaneha lo hayula od. Translated, her face was not the same. When was this pasuk said? After Eli HaKohen promised Chana the following year she'll be zochet to have a child. Here is Chana, who underwent tremendous yisurin for 19 years, till she heard the promise on the Mount of Eli. And the moment she heard these words, the Navi testifies that the sadness and melancholia were no longer visible on her face. The question is why? Was she zocha yet to see a child with her own eyes? The answer is no. And yet, what Eli HaKohen promised her, Chana believed with her entire heart and soul, till she actually felt that she was holding a child. She reached such a madrega of emunah, and the Navi saw fit to underscore this with the pasuk, Upaneh lo hayu la'od. The essence of emunah is expressed and realized in words and events that don't necessarily happen before our eyes. We cannot necessarily palpably feel it with our hands and other senses that Hashem created. And despite the fact that our senses are often deadened, we are duty-bound to believe that the promises given to us by Hashem will be realized and come to fruition in their proper time. To the extent that one's emunah is complete and more tangible and concrete, so too a Jew will live his life with greater simcha. V'tzadik v'emunato yichyeh. Everyone knows that the tzarot that plague us, both collectively and individually, are ultimately for our benefit. Kol man diavid rachman l'tav avid, but obviously it's very difficult to feel that. It's our obligation to fulfill not only that which is expressed in the pasuk, v'yadata hayom, intellectually to have cognition, but also v'ashilot elavavecha, ki Hashem elokim ha'shamay minbao v'aretz v'tachat enod. And if the Almighty is one and unique in His oneness, the Creator of all beings, and it's patently clear that all that happens is for our good and benefit. Despite all this, we're waiting for the day we'll be able to see B'chush, and not only to believe in all the goodness Hashem has promised His created beings. I saw that Rav Asher Weiss, the author of Minchat Asher on Shas, comments on a very beautiful tefillah that many recite on Friday night before Kiddush, that begins with the words, I remember when I was a Rav in Shivat Or Etzion with Rav Chaim Drukman Shlita, he used to sing this tefillah for a half hour. Chatzisha. Ushar tefillah zot. Ribon kol olamim, adon kol neshamot, modeh ani lefanecha Hashem Elokai ve'Elokei Avotai al kol ha-chesed asher asita imadi, v'asher ata atid la'asot imi b'mkol b'riyotecha b'nei brit. One of the questions that's asked, and asked by Rav Weiss as well, why is it when I express thanks to the Almighty for the past I mention, al kol ha-chesed asher asita imadi, for all the kindness you've done for me, I only mention myself. And yet when I pray to Hashem for the future, I mention, imkol b'riyotecha b'nei brit. I refer to all of Hashem's creatures. It's an amazing distinction. The answer he suggests lies in the following fact. There are chasadim, kindnesses that Hashem performs with people that are not self-evident. Even the recipient of chesed sometimes has to be a big lamed in order to understand the totality of the chesed, and that kol man diavid rachman v'tav avid, it's all for the good, but a simple person will not necessarily see it or understand it. When a person thanks Hashem for the past, he specifically mentions chasadim asher asita imadi, that Hashem has done with me, that only I, after activating my lamdanut, examining and probing, realize they are true chasadim. But for the future, I pray to Hashem, ribon kol olamim, adon kol neshamot, that will do for me kindnesses that my entire household and all Klal Yisrael can also know and feel the great good that He does for us. And this is also the explanation of the tefillah. Isabeinu mitulecha. Hashem says, satiate us with His goodness. The Gemara says in Masechet Yoma, famous Gemara, that a blind person who cannot see the food that is brought before him is not satiated, is not satisfied completely. Because in order for one to be totally derive benefit and pleasure from one's achilah, one's eating, one has to see it with one's eyes. We therefore pray to Hashem, v'sabeinu mitulecha, He'll satiate us with His goodness, we'll merit to literally see the chasadim with our eyes, and not only to believe that they are existing. One of the greatest dilemmas and issues which Judaism has struggled with from the dawn of its existence is, of course, the problem of tzadik v'ra lo, rasha v'tov lo. Moshe Rabbeinu, according to the Gemara, and according to the Rambam, the Ramban, Kimat Ol Rishonim, understand the Psukim, and Moshe Rabbeinu cried out to Hashem, Hodieni Na Drachecha, Ve'idacha, Lemanin Tzachem Yenecha, or Harini Na Kodecha. Essentially, Moshe Rabbeinu was asking the question of Tzadik Baral or Rosh Hashanah. A question that was asked, not just by Moshe Rabbeinu, by Yirmiyahu HaNavi, by Habakkuk, by David HaMelech in Tehillim, by Shlomo Kehelet, and the entire Sefer Iyo is devoted to this quandary. I mentioned on Shabbos, the Ramban, in his preamble to Iyo, has a lengthy, lengthy discussion of the issue of Tzadik Baralo, and at the end of the day, the Ramban provides the answer, which is Sod HaGulgul. That's the answer to the problem of Tzadik Baralo, Rasha B'Tovah. My Rebbe Drav, Zuchenu Lebracha, his classic essay, Kodo Dilofek, explores the issue and attempts to show that Judaism arrived at a new formulation and definition of the problem. The problem, he said, of suffering can be raised in two dimensions, Brit Golal and Brit Yud, fate and destiny. There's an I subject to fate and an I subject to destiny, and therein, he said, lies the approach to this dilemma of Tzadik Baral or Rosh Hashanah. Golal of fate is an existence described by the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, Al Korchecha Atah Chai, Al Korchecha Atah Met, Al Korchecha Atah Nolad, Al Korchecha Atah Atid Litein, Din V'Cheshbon V'Nemela Malchei Amalchim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our lives are but a link in a chain, devoid of meaning and direction, but subject to monumental forces to which I've been subjected without prior consultation. The eye of Goral is an object lacking any independence. In light of this imagery, the experience of Tzadik Baralo is terror-stricken. Man is perplexed and confused. Fate mocks him. His very being shattered. The dread of annihilation crushes him, body and soul. He wanders about aimlessly, without any direction. The Hadut did not attempt to deny the phenomenon of suffering. Whoever does so is but a fool, living in a fool's paradise. Therefore, the Hadut determined that man entrapped in the Brit Goral, in a fate-laden existence, will seek in vain for the solution to the problem of Tzadik Baralo. He'll never find it. Certainly the testimony of the Borei Olam, Vayar Elokim Kol Asher Asah, V'hinei Tov Me'od, is true. Chazal even comment, V'hinei Tov Me'od, Zeh HaMavet. Death is the ultimate good. However, the affirmation can only be made from the perspective of Hashem Yitbarach. Finite man cannot grasp the solution. Only if man could see the entire picture and grasp the world as a whole could he have perspective on the essential nature of Tzadik Baralo, using the famous mashal of the Chafetz Chaim, of the gentleman who came to shul, saw the gabbai giving up aliyot, was not too happy about the way the gabbai was operating, and he questioned the gabbai, why are you giving an aliyah to this individual and not to that one, and why not to the third person who seems to be a VIP, someone of great significance and importance? And the gabbai responded to him, you are here on a one-time basis. I've been a gabbai for 28 years. I know exactly that gentleman that you speak about, a VIP, he had your time 2 weeks ago, he received an aliyah. And the person who received the aliyah today also has some simcha. Therefore, he's getting an aliyah. You don't have the full picture. Your picture is very limited. As long as our apprehension is limited, we can only see fragments of the cosmic drama. You cannot penetrate into the depths of Tzadik Baralo. The Kitzur, from the standpoint of Brit Goral, the eye of fate, there's no solution to the problem of Tzadik Baralo, Rosh Hashanah. However, from the standpoint, said the Rav, of Brit Yehud, destiny, the problem assumes a different dimension. Here, man confronts his environment with his distinctive, unique genius. Here, man has a motto of the Mishnah, Al Kor Chato Nolad, you live of your own free will. Man, said the Rav, is born like an object and dies on the earth like an object, but possesses the ability to live like a subject, like a creator. Man's task in the world is to transform Goral into Yehud, fate into destiny, a passive existence into an active existence. The Bracha of Hashem to his handiwork so much reflects this idea. Pruvu umilu et haaretz kivshua. Subdue your environment. The realization of your destiny, Yehud, become a shutaf HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Maaseh Bereshit. Rav Zichron Livracha, one of his favorite themes was the theme of creativity. I'm very fond of that as well. Based on the Gemara Masechet Sotah, Daf Yud Daled, the idea of the Netat Yodei,
מהו רחום, מה פתו רחום, מהו חנון, מה פתו חנון, מהו מבקר חולים, מה פתו מבקר חולים, the words of Solomitchik, מהו מחדש עולמות, מה פתו מחדש עולמות. Just as Hashem is a creator, you also should be a creator. Subdue your environment, do your own. The man of destiny does not cower before evil and suffering, but attempts to deal with it by asking the question, what are my obligations in view of Tzadik B'Rallah? The answer is quite simple, said Rav Soloveitchik. Suffering comes to elevate a person, to purify him, to sanctify his spirit, to cleanse and purge him of the dross of superficiality and vulgarity, to refine his neshama. Suffering is a kapara. From the midst of suffering, a Jew emerges, cleansed and pure. The Navi, famous Pasuk in Yirmiyo, Perek Lamed, the Navi says, Eit Sarahim Yaakov, Umimena Yivashea. It's a time of agony for Yaakov, but from the very midst of it, nay, because of it, he'll be saved. His character will be enhanced by it. He'll reach a level of exaltedness heretofore unreachable. Out of the negation grows the affirmation. Out of the antithesis, the thesis blossoms. The Torah itself testifies in Vayet Hanan, this week's Parashat HaShavua, Batsar lecha umtzaruch kol advarim ha'ele v'shaftar Hashem alokecha v'shamatu v'kodam. Suffering is directly related to tshuva. Afflictions are designed to stir us to repent. And what is tshuva if not a self-renewal and personal geulah redemption? Woe to the person whose suffering has not precipitated a spiritual crisis, whose neshama remains frozen. Yahadut, said Rav Soloveitchik, has deepened this concept by combining the notion of the elevating of suffering with that of divine chesed. God's acts of chesed are not a free gift, but impose obligations upon their beneficiary. When Hashem endows me with health and influence, I must know how to use these boons that Hashem gives me, how to take these gifts and transform them into fruitful creative forces, how to take the divine chesed that flows towards me and in turn perform deeds of chesed for others. The Mishnah teaches us, Chayav Adam b'varech al ha'ra'ah, v'shem shem b'varech al ha'tobah. Just as the goodness of Hashem imposes upon me the obligation to perform exalted sublime deeds, so too the afflictions, chas v'shalom, require of a person that he improve and purify his life. In a word, said Rav Soloveitchik, man is obliged to resolve not the question of the causal or teleological explanation of suffering, but rather the question of the rectification of suffering and all its complexity. He does this by transforming Goral into Yehud, fate into destiny, elevating himself from I object to I subject, from Chetz to the Gavra, from thing to person. And this is precisely the answer that Hashem gave to Eov. As long as Eov philosophized like a slave of Goral of fate regarding the cause of suffering, as long as he demanded of Hashem answers to the reasons for suffering, the why question, Hashem answered him forcefully. The Pesukim are well known to us, again translating into English. Hashem said to him, do you know the time when the wild goats of the rock bring forth? Can you mark the time when the hinds will calf? If you don't know the ABC of creation, how can you arrogantly presume to ask so many questions regarding the governing of the cosmos? However, once Eov understood how inappropriate his question was, then he confessed, now, said Eov, I have heard, now my eyes have seen, I uttered that which I didn't understand, things too wonderful for me which I didn't know. Eov recognized and acknowledged his inability to understand and unravel the dynamics of the creation process, and kal v'chomer to ferret out the key to the enigma of Tzadik Meralo, Rosh HaVetovlo. When a Jew confronts death, Rachmanu Litzlan, he immediately recites, Baruch Dayan HaEmet, acknowledging the true judgment of the Almighty, even though it's beyond his purview. He then embarks on an odyssey of Avilut that is organically bound up with Tshuva. Avilut represents the philosophy of man according to Yahadut. The whole concept of Avilut is nurtured by a doctrine about man and his emotional world. Man is free to determine the type of emotional life he would like. Man has actions and emotions. He could either invite emotions and let them have an opportunity to vent and to channel them, or he could close the door on them and not be affected by it. Emotions can be assimilated, but also classified as being unworthy of my attention. The Baal Chovot Alvavot discriminated between mitzvot evarim and mitzvot alvavot. Many mitzvot are grounded upon man's emotional world. At times man is called upon not to control his emotions. The Stoic approach is to squelch emotions even in times of death. Yahadut states that every event is planned by Hashem Yitzbarach, even death.
Mem has surrendered to the will of Hashem. Yet submission to the divine will does not foreclose or stymie emotions from emerging. One should not mask one's feelings. Man must cry, man must weep. Pain and death result in mourning, should lead to a sense of existential helplessness. Bitterness and grief are noble human emotions, and the other has to grieve. Gradually, as mentioned, he must redeem himself of such emotions. Chazal devised an incredible system of Shiva and Shloshim and Yubei Chodesh in order for a person to be able to reintegrate into society. I happen to be, firstly, a neighbor of the Menorah family. I live across the street from them. And I've known Shalom and Sima and their family all these years. And I spent many, many hours in the Beit Avel this week and this morning as well at the Beit HaChaim. And I also spent my week, I cannot even sleep any night this week. Insomnia generally I have on an ongoing basis, but this week I partially was not able to sleep bichlal. And all the thoughts that were mentioned by both Marnie and Carl went through my mind many, many times and are still going through my mind. Literally every single item on the list came out, I can identify and can relate to. But what I saw, firstly, I saw the incredible quality of this community. It was already mentioned as well. The Chazal speak about the empathy factor. Kimbat, I have never seen anything like it. Not just here. You undoubtedly are aware that this became a rather, not just parochial kind of event, but almost a international event that which occurred. I was not sure exactly why, what caused such a massive interest, even though there's no question the tragedy was absolutely horrendous, beyond description. But even my chaverim in the United States called me a number of times this week and spoke to me about it, and almost everyone on the globe is aware of what happened. And what I saw here, in Baruch Hashem, in our beautiful shkuna, in this neighborhood, and bichlal, the unbelievable notion of Nosei Ba'olam Chaveiro. And that is mentioned also is something which is literally one of the midot of Hashem Yisbarach. V'alachta bidrachav. Hevei domelo, as Chazal say. And this trait is the predominant attribute of the Creator. And every recurring theme that we find in rabbinic literature and Chazal, I actually went looking. Unfortunately, I have no computer savvy. I am technologically challenged. And so I spend many, many hours looking at Svarim and the like. Just share perhaps one or two, Namori Chazal. Kach Yisrael, kshiyadu lebitzvayim shkinayim mahem shenemar, anochi erin umcha mitzvayim ma, olu shkinayim mahem shenemar, anochi alcha gamalo, yodu liyam shkinayim mahem shenemar, vayisam alach elokim alech mnei machane Yisrael, vayelach meyach lehem, yatsu lebitbar shkinayim mahem shenemar, vashem olech lifnehem yomam. Chazal speak about this many, many times, b'chol tzaratam, Lo Tzar. When we are afflicted, Hashem is Baruch is afflicted. And even though the source of every affliction, obviously, is the Almighty, ubechol zot, the way the Paitan writes in the Hoshanot, Votzeiti etchem maku vohutzeiti itchem. Well, the Mishnah Sanhedrin, the Mishnah writes, Kalani meroshi, kalani mezroi, the notion which the Ramban developed at great length, and the pasuk Anochi Erim Chom Nitzayim Ba Anochi Alcha Gamalo Yosef Yashit Yado Al Inecha the Ramban of Ayigash. Rashi quotes it in the context of the Psukim at the end of Parshat Mishpatim. Kibasei Lugnat HaSapir Chesam HaShamayim LaTorah, says Rashi, He Aita Lefana V'Shat HaShibud Nisgor Tzaratan Shal Yisrael Shayim Mishubadim B'Maseh Lubenim. This idea, Chol Tzaratan Lo Tzar Nosei Ba'ol V'Chaviro Imo Anochi Bitzara, the Chazal speak about so many, many times in so many different places. Omar Yakadosh Bukhud Moshe, Iyata Magisha Nishaul Bitzar, Kishem She Yisrael Shuri Bitzar. Rabbi Yodea Mimakom Shani Medaber Incha, Mitoch HaKotzim, Kabi Yochol HaNishuta Bitzara. And that notion, which is unfortunately, it had to come about as a result of tragedy. Chazal said, the Gemara Megillah, Dola HaSarat HaTabat, Yoter Mikol HaNeviim SheNegu LeYisrael. All the Neviim didn't have the same impact as the HaSarat HaTabat of Ahasuerus when he gave to Haman the signet ring, the right to Rachman Litzlan, Lashmid La'arog La'abed Kol HaYudim Menavi HaZakein Tafim Hashim Yom Echad. And tragedy often brings out this particular quality. But this quality is one that is so beautiful about Klal Yisrael, and unquestionably, this is the quality that will also ultimately be responsible for Gulat Yisrael. I don't have any answers. Many, many people this week, literally tens and tens of people spoke to me and posed all kinds of questions. I know that I heard in the name of Aaron Soloveitchik, Zechus Hadid Yivracha, many, many times, that he, when questioned about the Shoah, said that anyone who attempts to pose reason X or reason Y for the Shoah, it's essentially a foolish thing to do. It's impossible to understand. Ester Panim is Ester Panim. Midat Adin is Midat Adin. On the other hand, anyone who questions why HaKadosh Baruch Hu could effect such a tragedy, Yesh B'zeh Yotem Midnidnut Shel Apikursus. So we cannot answer these questions. Ultimately, we have to rely upon, as I said earlier, the Tzadik Ben Menato Yechiyah. Baruch Hashem, Mishpachat Menorah is a family that has unbelievable Shorash and Emunah. That's what I discovered this week. I spent many hours talking to Ben. I feel that something in him resonates with me, and I'm so taken by him, by that young man, who really is the anchor of the entire family. I'm absolutely just in awe of him, and Yehuda as well, an entire family is a family that basically has this incredible emunah. And certainly all of us hope and pray that Hashem Yisbarach will give them the Chama, the Ezrat Hashem, because with the Chama that they have, our entire community will have the Chama as well. Soloveitchik always said over that when the Seichel no longer operates, that's where Emunah begins. He had many interesting rayos from Rambams, of course, to prove this idea. Chovat Emunah matchila b'makom shekala Seichel ha'adam. Kach haya omer kol hazman, he said in the name of Rav Chaim and others. There's no question that our only response to this entire tragedy is by Yidom Aharon, but the ultimate realization, Gam ki eilech, the gates of Moved, lo yirara, ki atayim adi, shivcha mishantecha, heimin achamoni. Only by clinging to Hashem Yitbarach could we possibly have any kind of nechama, consolation, and the stronger the emunah a person has, the greater their ability to weather this kind of tragedy. I wanted to mention, but it's well known, I'm not telling any chidushim, there's a famous midrash in Mishlei. I'm not going to quote the entire midrash. The midrash tells us a very horrific story of Rav Meir and his two sons. I assume they're quite familiar with this midrash. And again, his wife, with a great pikhut, with a great sagacity, how she presented the story to Rav Meir after Abdallah. And again, we see from that midrash as well that the ultimate nechama that a Jew can find is through emunah ribon olamim. And halavai, we hope and pray that we'll continue to strengthen this family, to give them nechama. We'll continue to try to assist them as much as we can, limloa kochot, the merits, and together, Be'ezrat Hashem, halavai, we should be zoche to a period of time, bikarov, bila mabala netzach, u'machashem alokim dimna me'al konim.